This is Line Break, where we deconstruct poetry written by young writers and discuss the inspiration and intention behind their poems. Take a pause and enjoy the line breaks. Here's episode 37, where I talk with Penelope about her short story, The Purple Flowers. I hope you enjoy!
Hi, my name is Penelope from Young Writers Project, and I'm going to read the story Purple Flowers that I wrote today. I love the light of this day, she said to nobody in particular. She loved the way the sunlight bounced off the leaves and made them look like they were glowing. She loved the feeling of warm sunlight on her face as she breathed in the fresh forest air. The sound of dirt crunching under her old white Converse gave her comfort. She always thought it was peaceful being out in the woods by herself. Most days, she would come out here to think and pick wildflowers. She liked the purple ones in particular, and the smell of them reminded her of honey and happiness. As she made her way, she saw dozens of them and gingerly picked one up and gently put it behind her ear. As she did, a brief memory flashed before her of her mother doing the same thing when she first brought her to this place. She remembered her mother saying, as she tucked the flower behind her ear, "Flowers are the music from the ground, from earth's lips spoken without sounds," as she quoted her favorite author. She remembered how her mom looked so happy, the sun shining down on her like a spotlight. The memory passed and a small tear trickled down her face. She bent down and picked up one more of the flowers, twirled it in her hand, and kept walking. She followed the sun's rays until she got to a clearing where the sun's rays were all in one big circle. It was beautiful. She had never seen anything like it. It was like millions of tiny diamonds of all colors sparkling. It made everything feel magical. She stepped into the middle of the circle and felt her whole body warm. She lay down in the middle of the circle and closed her eyes. She listened to the birds singing and the leaves blowing in the wind. It was the most beautiful chorus. Every sound was part of one exquisitely beautiful song. She laid there and listened to the song for hours until the sky turned beautiful shades of amber and golden. When she finally got up from the circle, she realized there were dozens of purple wildflowers surrounding the circle she was laying in. They had not been there before. She knew her mother had sent them. She rose from the ground and placed the purple flower she had picked earlier in the middle of the circle and whispered, "I love you." And she knew, by the way, the wind picked up and the flowers swayed in the breeze, that her mother had heard her.
Yay, thank you so much. So what was your inspiration for this?
Well, earlier I had actually been taking pictures of purple crocuses in my yard. And when I saw the picture, it was like of the woods. And I had this image of this girl walking through the woods and she was just at peace with the woods. And I got the idea for her mother to have died because of everyone dying from COVID. And I wanted a story that people could relate to.
Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of people see the woods or the forest as like a scary, intimidating place, but it can actually be really peaceful to just walk through the woods on your own, like hear the birds sing and see the pretty purple flowers.
It is really pretty.
What was the first line that you wrote and how did you go from there?
Well, the first line was, "I love the light of this day," she said to nobody in particular. And the challenge was actually, you had to have the storyline, "I love the light of this day," she said. So I kind of just started off from there. And I just saw an image in my mind, like sun rays coming through the trees. And that's kind of where I started off.
Mm-hmm. Was it difficult to use this prompt? Or do you think it was kind of easy since you immediately had a picture in your mind?
I think it was pretty easy because my mom she's really in tone with the universe and stuff. And I kind of got the idea from her because she writes about spirits and how they're like always around us. So that's, where I got the idea.
That's really cool. I'm taking a science and spirituality class right now for school. And it's very interesting. I feel like it's kind of similar to what your mom might write about.
Really? Mm-hmm. Do you like it?
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun so far. I mean, I'm 2 weeks away from the end of it, so.
I don't really relate to spiritual stuff like that, but my mom does, and I thought it'd be a really good storyline because a lot of people could relate to it.
Yeah, that's what I think is nice about writing is that you don't always have to write about things that mean a lot to you. You can sometimes write things for other people that you know that they would enjoy and they would be able to relate to. So how do you use prompts with or without photos to inspire your writing?
Usually when I see a prompt, I think about it for a little bit and I try to come up with like an idea for it. Like this one, it came to me right away because I had pictures of the purple crocuses. But other times when I see prompts, it's hard for me to have a picture of what I want to write at first, but then usually just write down a whole lot of ideas, even if they're not good. I kind of go from there.
Yeah, that's a really good thing to mention, is like writing it down, even if it's not good. I think that this is like a common kind of misconception about writing, is that everything you write has to be amazing. Like, yeah. And of course, I, as a perfectionist, everything I do, I want to be amazing, you know, I want everything to be like just right the first time I do it. So it's difficult to have those like not so great ideas, or ideas that, you know, you're like, I don't think this is really what I want to write about. But through the process of writing down ideas, even if they're just like a cat walks into a grocery store, like something really simple like that, it can help you find a better idea if you like combine two ideas, or you're like, oh, that inspires me to do this, or that reminds me of something else. You know, like putting down all these different ideas helps you find something that you like, even if they aren't all amazing.
Yeah, that's why I usually end up deleting a lot of my work, because I'm also a perfectionist and I usually hate all my work. But after I'm working on it for a long time, I usually have like a good idea and then I am kind of like going with it. And then I don't really hate it that much anymore.
That reminds me of something, is that I sometimes write short stories or kind of like fiction, mainly like very small pieces, like a chapter or like a few pages, but I haven't ever shared any of it in LetterUP because I feel like I get that same like, ooh, I can make this better, but then I'm like, it can be better, it can be better, and it just doesn't end to the point where I'm like, oh, okay, it's good enough now, you know. So I don't know why I don't have that with poetry, though, because I love sharing poetry, but with fiction, for some reason, I'm always like, I don't like this.
I'm the opposite. Poetry comes harder to me. I'm really bad at coming up with rhymes and a concept, but with writing stories and fiction stories, because I like working with like magical kind of things, it's more fun for me to write fiction than it is to write poetry.
And that's really interesting, is that two writers can have very different experiences, you know? One of us can be really into poetry and like just have it come really easily, and the other one can have the same experience with fiction. So, I mean, that shows that when you're a writer, you don't have to have one kind of outlet, you know, or one genre that you stick to.
Yeah, it can like vary around.
Exactly. There is so much cool imagery in here, like very descriptive, very like I can completely picture it. Some lines that I love are, the sunlight bounced off the leaves and made them look like they were glowing, the feeling of warm sunlight on her face as she breathed in the fresh forest air. And these are really beautiful, but fairly simple descriptions, but they create such a strong image in my mind. And it's like, yeah, I can completely picture this like sunlit forest and how pretty and calming it is, with like that smell of fresh forest, kind of like pine needles.
Yeah, I usually like to walk around the woods like Ethan Allen, and I like to watch the wilderness. Like there's kind of logs with mold, and it's really cool to look at. And I got the idea to write that line because in the woods, it's like the sun is perfectly beating down on the leaves, making it look like it's going. And I thought that was really beautiful.
Yeah. And for some reason, I don't know why, but whenever I think of like forest air, I think of like a Christmas tree farm and that kind of like pine needle scent. So I love going to Christmas tree farms though, and like seeing all the trees and like chopping it down.
That's the best part about Christmas. Like I like getting presents, but it's also really fun the days leading up to Christmas.
Yeah, like that anticipation, like, oh, it's going to be such a great holiday. It's going to be so much fun to decorate our tree. For a couple of years, my family and I have gone to get our Christmas tree together. And like my older brother, my dad cut down the tree. And then my mom and my younger brother and I just kind of watch and drink hot chocolate. And like we say that we all helped, but really we just watch them. So it's like all these really fun family memories associated with things like that. And like I was reminded of that whole memory just by reading this one sentence in your story. So I think that's really cool.
That's really nice. I like how a story can kind of transport you somewhere. I like that about stories.
Yeah, me too. Like, it just instantly brings you to another place and time.
It's like an escape. And I mean, I don't really like living through COVID that much. And reading helps me a lot because then I'm just transported to like this whole magical world, which is really cool.
Yeah. And just kind of imagine a world where, you know, there isn't all that stuff going on.
Yeah.
I was thinking the other day that we're going to get to a point in time when the only books that have been published recently have some part of the pandemic in them. Because unless they're set in like pre-2020, they're going to have some part of the pandemic in it. So yeah. I was like, that's pretty crazy that it's going to change books too. And like, we're always going to have that. If you don't include it, then it's going to be some like dystopian or utopian world.
Yeah, I was writing one of my stories and I made sure that she remembered to grab the mask off the counter before she forgot it. And that's exactly what that made me think of, because we have to wear our masks and do all this stuff. And then people in stories are going to have to do that too.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing with that, though, is that I feel like I'm going to get to a point where I don't want to read about it. You know, I'm going to feel like I've lived through this for so long and I want to read about something else, just like anything.
Forget about it. Exactly.
Yeah, anything that doesn't talk about social distancing and masks and stuff. So that's something that I thought was interesting, is that like we're going to get to that point where if you don't include the pandemic and all this like vaccine and social distancing and masks and all that stuff, then it's going to have to be a fantasy world, which is crazy because like just 2 years ago, we would have thought that a pandemic would be the fantasy world. So like how the turntables.
No, right? I feel sad when I think about before COVID. So, yeah. And now our life has changed so much that when it's after COVID, it's going to feel weird when we don't have to wear masks anywhere. Well, yeah, anymore.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm getting my vaccine in a few weeks, which I'm pretty excited about. But I feel like even after that, I'm still going to be like kind of cautious and wary of like, ooh, do I really want to go out like by all these people who don't have masks on? And like, do I really want to do all these things that I used to do? So I feel like in some ways it's never going to be like it used to be, which is really sad to think about because I feel like we're missing out on a lot. But moving on to happier topics, back to your poem. The sound of dirt crunching under her old white Converse, the smell of the purple wildflowers reminded her of honey and happiness. What was your inspiration for those lines?
Well, I mean, in the woods, we're walking on dirt paths, and she just wanted to be at peace with the world, and the sound of it crunching just made her feel like one with the woods. And the smell reminded her of honey and happiness. Well, because her mom used to like these flowers, and it made her think of happiness. And of course, they kind of smelled like honey.
Mm-hmm. I really like those lines. And then she puts the flower behind her ear. And that reminded me of when I was younger, a few years ago, in summer camp, and my friends and I made flower crowns out of dandelions and like different wildflowers. And have you ever made a flower crown like that?
No, but the other day I was actually braiding my hair and I was putting dandelions in it. And it actually looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it feels so carefree and stuff to like put flowers in your hair and like kind of decorate yourself with flowers. So you have a quote in here as well. I was wondering if it was from a specific book or if you wrote it.
I looked up quotes about flowers and I wanted to have something really pretty that the mom said. And I found that one when I was looking for it. And I actually have the person who said it, Edwin Curran. I'm not really sure who they are.
Mm-hmm. Very pretty. So the sky turned beautiful shades of amber and golden. And I feel like this is a really pretty kind of sunset because it's not like bright pink or bright blue or bright purple. Like it's very golden and very like still that emphasis on sunshine, even though the sun is like starting to set.
I actually had a hard time coming up with the colors that I should choose. I was looking up different colors and I could not find the perfect one. I was going to do purple and pink, but then I don't think I want to do traditional colors or whatever they are, just normal colors. I want to do different ones. And then I found those colors and I thought that the imagery would be like really pretty to think about that.
And for your ending, she knew by the way the wind picked up and the flowers swayed in the breeze that her mother heard her. How did you know that you wanted to end the story this way? And were there other options or was this the only one in your mind?
This was basically the only one in my mind because, as I said, my mom is like in tone with the universe, not in like a hippie way, but like in a cool way. And I just wanted her to realize that her mother was there with her and she wasn't alone in this world. She had her mother looking over her. And I wanted to end with her knowing that her mother had heard her.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a really beautiful moment that like she has this experience where she goes to the woods by herself and she's just soaking in the sun, and then she lies down in this field, she wakes up and she sees these beautiful flowers, she knows that her mom's with her, and it's like it's so touching to imagine that, but like even when we're alone, the people that we love are still with us somehow.
Yeah.
Also, congratulations on having this poem published. And
thank you so much. Yeah, I was really excited about that. It's gonna be in the newspaper on Friday, I'm pretty sure.
Very exciting.
Thank you so much.
I was walking through my neighborhood the other day and two of my neighbors came up to me and they were like, Iris, I haven't seen your poems in the newspaper lately. Have you been writing anything? And I was like, oh, well, I've been busy with school. I haven't been able to write a lot. But it was so funny, though, because all of my neighbors read my poetry. So they kind of know me a lot more than I'd like them to know me. But it's fun.
That's funny. I always really like to read the Young Writers Project. I really like to see what other people are writing. And I also like to get inspiration from it, because everyone writes such beautiful stuff and everyone has their own personality when they're writing. And I really like to read from everyone's point of view, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. So related question, how did you discover YWP and what role does it play in your life?
I learned about Young Writers Project in sixth grade, actually, so 2 years ago, from my teacher. And I didn't really do it last year because of COVID and stuff. And then this year, I actually made a new account because that was my old school account. And I just started writing stuff because I've always been a writer since third grade and I've just never done anything with my stories. So I wanted to do something with them, but I just didn't know what. And then I remembered about Young Writers Project. I thought it'd be really cool if I could have like a community to see my work. Yeah.
That's really great. I think that a lot of us have discovered YWP through school or have like discovered it and then kind of didn't want to join, but then rediscovered it recently and then really enjoy it. I'm so glad that we have so many cool writers here and that like everyone's, you know, finding a place in the community and like really feeling like they belong.
I really love reading everyone's work. It's really fun to see what they're writing about.
That's great. So, some more questions. What books and authors have shaped you as a writer and a human being?
Okay, gotta name my favorite series. I love the Unbecoming of Mara Dyer series. And it's about this girl. She's she has this power where she can, okay, this is a little bit dark, but she can kill people with a thought. But then all these other people can do different things. Like one boy can heal and one other person can like talk and make people do things. And it's about like her life and her curse. And yeah, it's really cool. And that kind of shaped my writing perspective because she wrote it in, I'm not used to writing to people writing in third person, but she wrote that in third person. I thought that was really, really cool.
Yeah, that is really cool. I just wrote one of my finals for my literature class about point of view in literature and how like third person point of view and first person point of view kind of contribute to how you interpret and like remember a story. So my whole point was that first person point of view is more relatable because you're like the reader's in the mind of the narrator, you know, and you like have to imagine yourself as that person. But I think there's something special about third person point of view too, because you kind of feel like you're in the background watching the character. Like maybe you're just sitting on a bench across the street from them or something, you know, like it's still cool.
Yeah. I don't really know which one I like to write in the most, but I would say I like to tell stories in past tense. Like that's how stories mostly come to me.
I don't see the thing is that I don't write a lot of stories, so I don't know, but I feel like I would kind of maybe 75% first person, 25% third person. And then the thing with my tenses is that I've always had an issue with figuring out if I want things to be in the present or the past, and so I kind of switch between them.
That's what makes my stories really confusing, because I switch, and it must be really confusing for readers.
Yeah, and my English teachers have always been like, when is this happening? Like, catch your tenses, pay attention to it. Yeah, I always heard, like, pay attention to your tenses, and also who versus whom. I have no idea the difference between who and whom, or further and farther. So if someone can explain that to me, that'd be great.
Sometimes teachers do not make sense.
And I feel like I've kind of been told the same things over and over again, but no one's really explained why I get it wrong, which doesn't help me. Because I'm like, okay, I know it's not right, but why is it not right?
Yeah, teachers, they just tell you what you did wrong, but they don't really help you. And that's what I find kind of annoying.
Me too. But then I have other teachers who explain like way too much. And it's like, yeah, I know that. Like, that's why I did it that way.
Yeah. I mean, thankfully, I don't really have that many teachers like that. But when I do, it's very annoying.
I'm not going to have any of my professors this semester during the summer. So I'm going to have two new professors I haven't met yet, which is exciting. Never know what's going to happen when you get new teachers, but I hope I'm going to like them. And then I'm going to have 4 new professors in the fall. So new people I'm meeting, new places I'm going.
Yeah, I'm going to the high school next year, and I do not know any of the teachers because I don't have any older siblings that go to the high school. So it's just going to be like all new teachers and all new people.
Are you excited though?
I mean, I'm kind of excited. Kind of, like, I'm in the middle about it. Because mm-hmm. it's a new place, new people, which can be stressful, but it can also be really fun.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you can be kind of like, don't know what they're going to think about me, don't know if I'm going to get along with them, but you can also see it as like, just who am I going to be friends with, you know, who am I going to meet that's going to be really cool, and like, maybe we'll be friends for a while.
Yeah, like, I was choosing some classes that my friends were not choosing because I liked them. So I'm not really sure who's going to be in those classes. So it will be fun to meet new people.
Yeah, exactly. In my honor society, our 2 of our members are graduating this spring. So there's only pretty much 2 of us left who are kind of like in a leadership role, I guess. So I'm going to see what happens, but I'm hoping that possibly I can kind of sneak my way into becoming the president of it, which would be fun. But I mean, there's only a couple of us involved, so it's not like it's a huge deal. But
that'd be really fun though.
Yeah, right. And just, it's a really cool project that we're working on, but I won't get into it right now. Anyway, some more questions. Would you consider writing as a professional career?
Yes, I actually want to be an author when I grow up. As a side job, because I'm not sure if my writing would be published right away, and I'm not sure if it would be good enough. But yeah, I definitely want to be an author when I grow up.
Mm-hmm. I definitely want to be a writer too. The thing is that I kind of have to figure out what kind of writer I want to be. I mean, not like right away, but I should have some idea pretty soon. So I'm taking a creative writing class in the fall. And that's stressing me out a little bit, because I feel like I'm going to get to it and I'm going to be like, wait, I don't know how to write. But I mean, that's me. Yeah, that's me doing my worst case scenario, but I'm sure it's going to be great. I'm going to love it. But yeah, just kind of branching out and trying to figure out, I know I want to be a writer, but how do I want to be a writer?
Yeah. When you're a writer, do you just have to stay to one subject thing, genre?
No, of course not. I mean, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah. But mostly I like to write fiction, as you know. And yeah. I'm pretty sure that you like to write poetry. So
the thing is, though, I feel like I really want to merge them together, but I'm just not sure how to. Like, I can sort of picture in my mind, but I don't know how to, like, actually do it. Sort of like how I played piano for, like, 12 years. I took lessons for 12 years, but I never, like, created music because, like, I knew how it should sound, but I didn't know how to create it. And I feel like it's the same thing with poetry and fiction, where, like, I know how I want them to sound together, but I don't know how to kind of go about creating it.
Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to, you see something so clearly in your brain. And for me, I struggle with being able to put it into words or in a story.
Yeah, exactly. And like, how do I describe this so someone sees it exactly how I see it? You know, sometimes I'm like, there's not enough words for me to describe this. Or like, I'm looking for words that just don't exist.
Yeah, for my stories, sometimes I hate them, but I still post them. And people actually end up liking them, even though I didn't like them. Because one of mine that was published, I deleted it. And the person must have found it. So she posted it. And my mom was like, some different stories, they speak to different people, even if they don't speak to you. So, yeah.
That's really good advice that, like, you don't always have to absolutely love what you write, you know? It could mean something to a lot of other people. I feel like I'm realizing that, and it's becoming more true to me, like, the older I get, and, like, when I look back at my older writing, like, from even, like, just a year ago or 2 years ago, and I'm like, wait, this seems like a completely different person, and, like, I don't like this at all, but then I see, you know, how many comments are on it, or I remember what my friends said about it when they read it, and I'm like, well, it may not have the same meaning to me and, like, have the same effect on me as the writer, but it can still have meaning to people who read it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's always weird to read your old writing because I feel like I'm witnessing a version of myself that feels so far away from who I am now.
Yeah, like, even in my writing, I can tell that I was, like, less mature in a way, kind of, when I look at my old writing. Now I know that more mature in my writing in a way. How I'm good at putting details in a way that I wasn't before.
Yeah, for sure. Like, recognizing more maturity. Another question. When you go to bookstores, this is a fun question. When you go to bookstores, what section do you look at first?
Okay, usually I go to the young adult section for fiction or romance. I'm a big romance girl. Okay, and usually I just browse there, but I also just browse everywhere. I like mostly every genre.
I love this question. I like the used section because you always find cool stuff in the used section, or young adult, or mystery. But usually within those three. Sometimes I go to poetry, but mainly just, like, young adult mystery. But I just love bookstores so much. I could talk about them for an entire episode, but
I like the smell of them. Like, you can just smell the new books.
Yeah, but old bookstores too. Like, used bookstores, they hold a special place in my heart. But, like, I just love that feeling of looking at, especially with used books, like, looking at them and, like, kind of seeing who used to own them, if they wrote their name inside, or, like, I don't know, if they put a bookmark inside, and, like, where did they get this bookmark, and, like, kind of, there's a lot of history in them that I feel like is so cool to see. But new books are so fun too, because you can add your own history to them. And yeah. I realized that I have way too many books and I should be getting rid of more. I talk about this a lot recently, but I just sold 100 of my books, even though it looks like I didn't. You can't even tell.
Wow. I have books that I don't need. I just give them to my sister to put in her bookshelf because my bookshelf not big enough for most books.
I know, all of mine are on my floor right now, so I am trying to figure out if I can possibly get rid of another 50 or so. That's going to be my goal for the summer. You wouldn't even notice. I don't even read 50 of them because I feel like I get really like, I want to like keep as many books as I can because I feel like I need them, even though I'm not going to read them.
I don't know why a lot of kids in my class, it makes me cry. Not really, but like they hate reading. And I don't understand. Like, how can you not like a book? It's just beyond me. I don't understand.
I know. I was actually just talking to my mom about people that I used to be friends with and how, like, I wouldn't really want to be friends with them now because I feel like we're not even interested in the same things. Like, we were friends when I was, like, 10 or 11, but we've gone such separate ways. Like, I can't even talk to them about books that I like because they'd be like, what's a book? Or, like, I have never read a book, you know? Like, I feel like we just wouldn't get along, so... It's interesting because I feel like a lot of the friendships you have when you're younger just, you go off in different ways.
Yeah, they just crumble away.
Exactly. And it's like, you kind of think, oh, it'd be fun to like be friends with this person again. But then you're like, wait, no, actually it wouldn't.
No, they're different. They're different now.
It's so different. And especially friends that people I knew that when I was like, in middle school, it's like, whoa, that's not the same person that I knew.
Yeah, people go through things and they change, but mostly down on the inside, they're still the same person. You just have to look for them.
Yeah, exactly. So some more questions. I used to ask, what's the best writing advice you've ever gotten? But I think it's equally important to ask, what's the best writing encouragement you've gotten? So for example, I had to write about what kind of career I want to have after I graduate college from my English class. And I was writing about how I want to be a writer and I want to write novels. And I know it's going to be not going to be easy at first, but I still want to do it because I'm so passionate about it. And my English professor sent me this really, really sweet note about how I'm one of the best writers that's taken her class and she knows I'm going to go far. And it just made me so happy and encouraged me so much to keep writing. And I feel like that's even more important than kind of advice or being told like how to write is being told to continue writing.
Yeah, that's definitely the best feeling. And I didn't have that many encouragement from my teachers yet, but most of my encouragement comes from my mom and my parents and my family. And they just push me to keep writing and they tell me not to quit. And in sixth grade, I remember we did this thing. It was called DQ, so stands for daily questions. And we would have to answer a different question each day. And my teacher would write notes on them. And she would always say, you're such a great writer. And I love this work. And I love this word. And that's what kind of got me into writing even more. Because I wrote a little bit in elementary school, but I didn't write as much as I write now.
Yeah. Actually, same for me, is that just like having my family and my teachers encourage me to write and like seeing their support really made me feel a lot better about my writing, made me feel like, oh, this is something I can do. And it's not just something that like I'm imitating from someone else. Because like when you first start out writing, or at least for me, I felt like I'm imitating what someone else is doing. And like, this isn't really mine. I didn't really know how I wanted to write. And then I started to experiment and then I got that support. And I was like, yeah, this is how I want to write.
Yeah, definitely. As you said, encouragement is like the best when you're writing. It really helps like push you forward and stuff and exceed doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Would you create a poetry or short story collection and what would it be called?
Okay, definitely a short story because I'm not very good at poetry and I'm not really sure what it would be called. I might call it something to do with the woods and nature because I really like writing about nature. And yeah, I'm not really sure though.
I like this question. I would definitely create a poetry collection. I actually want to work on creating one over the summer. I'm not sure exactly what it'd be called, but I have a list of poetry collection names on my phone, just like random things that I think of. And I'm like, ooh, that would be cool. One of them is Baby Shoes because of the, I think it's a 6-word story told in 6 words. And it is For sale, baby shoes never worn. That was really cool for me to read because I was like, oh my gosh, she told this like story and like there's so much you can take from that in 6 words. And like you can create a whole world and characters like just within these 6 words. So I feel
That's pretty cool.
So that really inspired me. And then I also just feel like it's kind of interesting, like mysterious and intriguing to see like, whoa, like a poetry collection called Baby Shoes, like what's it about?
Yeah, that's exactly what went through my mind when you said that. So yeah. And I think it's really cool how you can just have 6 words. They can literally mean nothing, but then they can also mean everything. They can mean 6 words about a lamp, and they could still be really cool and have really good imagery.
Yeah. YWP used to have something, I think, I don't know if it's still on the site or not, but there used to be a section near Tiny Writes, I think, I don't know, sort of related to Tiny Writes, where a 6-word story, where you write a story in 6 words. And I used to scroll through and be like, how do people create such cool stories in 6 words? And it's just like, I know, it's incredible to see like what you can imagine from just a few words and like how it can take you into like, you know, like we were talking about earlier, transport you to a memory or a different world and like such a short description.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be able to do it because I'm the kind of person that needs more than 6 words to write something. But I think it's really cool that people can just write something in 6 words and that it'd be beautiful.
Yeah, I just remembered I used to go to a writing class when I was in seventh grade, I think. Seventh or eighth grade. And we used to have these like daily contests where we would have a prompt and we'd have to tell a story in like a certain amount of words, like 2 sentences you have to describe this, or 20 words or 5 words or whatever, you know, like different word count every day. And whoever kind of won the contest, I can't remember what it was, we got some sort of prize, something a little bit lame, but I can't remember what it was, but it was really cool because I didn't win for a while. And then I was like, I've got to up my game. And then I won like for like 2 weeks straight. And it was just so cool to see how like I got good at creating a story in a very few words and like choosing your words wisely, you know, picking like, is this really how I want to describe it or not?
I remember in my class in elementary school, like a few years ago, we would do these things called 7-minute writes. I always found them really hard because they never really gave us a prompt to write about. And some kids would just write the same word over and over. But I usually found myself writing about animals.
That's really cool, too. Like a free write, sort of your stream of consciousness, where you just write like whatever you think of. Those are fun too. I used to do that a lot. And it was always fun to pick through and be like, ooh, this is cool how like I can connect these ideas, or like this reminds me of something else, you know. Like we were talking about earlier with the different ideas, not all of it's going to be amazing, but you can always find something good in it.
Exactly.
This has been a really fun podcast. Thank you so much for recording with me.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really fun.
This has been episode 37 of Line Break. I hope you enjoyed and stay tuned for episode 38. Bye!